Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Greetings to you all in the matchless name for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us read Psalm 15 together. Padanajam Sagirtana Nanka Chair Novakam. Psalm 15, let us read together. Psalm chapter 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He does his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Hallelujah. Let us thank God this morning for the psalm that we got. Hallelujah. The question that David raises this morning, O Lord, who may dwell in your holy temple? Let us be found blameless and walk with integrity before the Lord. Let us praise God because we have access to his throne. Let us praise God because we are in his holy temple. Let us thank God this morning because he has made us his holy temple. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, God, because you alone are worthy of all glory, honor, power, and praise. Father God, this morning we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord Father, for speaking to us. We thank you, Father, for the wonders that you do every day, Father. Lord, you are an awesome God. You are a creator God. There is nothing that is impossible for you. Lord, Father, this morning as we take this look into Psalm, Father, we submit the Psalm into your hand. Will you speak to us? Will you anoint us? Will your presence, Father, Lord Jesus, convict us? Will it discipline us? Will it heal us, Lord? Will it bring us more closer and intimate with you? Father, Lord, we want to rest in your temple. We want to be in your holy presence all the time, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, as we look at these psalms that you speak to us, Lord, that we will be fruitful, God. That, Lord, we will not just be hearers this morning, but, Father, we will be transformed. Formed by the very word of God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us. We thank you for the presence of God that's here this morning. We submit ourselves into your mighty hands, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God this morning. Praise God, church. It is such a beautiful Sunday today. I am especially grateful because this week has just been a powerful, power-packed week. Praise God this morning because God has been doing wonders in the midst of us. This last week, we just had our 7 days, 5 days fasting of the youth. And it was such a blessing for me and also for the youths who attended that meeting. I believe God did wonderful things. God spoke to our youth. God was ministering to our youth. God opened new gifts. God healed them. God's love was poured into them. A lot of them have made certain decisions. And I know that there are many testimonies among our youth. I know that God will continue to use them. Let us as a church continue to keep our youth in prayer. God is going to pour out his spirit upon them. And new anointing. God is going to use these youth in a very powerful way. Let us continue to keep and uphold our youth in prayer because God has a plan for them. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, as we're taking a look at Psalm 15, let us read verse 1 together. Padinanjam Sangeetanam Onnam Vakyam Namukku Chernu Vaikkam. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Hallelujah. Now, this is a psalm that is written by David. This is a psalm that many people have spoken. This is a psalm that you have heard often. This is a psalm that you have read often. Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? When I was looking at this psalm this morning, I was thinking about us being the tent of God. We are the temple of God. Namal devathinte mandramana. We are aalayamana. We are the tent of God. We are the temple of God. And, you know, for us, when we think about this, It was in the Old Testament time when people had to climb a hill to go to spend time in the presence of God. When David is writing this psalm, the temple was not built. When David was writing this psalm, the temple or the there was no specific built temple. It was the Ark of the Covenant was dwelling in a tent. The Ark of the Covenant was dwelling in a tent. So when we say, "Oh Lord, who may abide in your tent?" David is saying, who can go into the tent of the Lord? Because it is a holy tent. It is where the presence of God dwells. It is where the Spirit of God dwells. In the Old Testament, we know that Moses received the word of God when he went up on the mountain. He received the Ten Commandments on stone tablets. But also God gave him a heavenly vision. God opened up the heavens and showed him how the heaven was situated. God took him and showed him how there was a courtyard in heaven. God took and showed him how there was a holy place and the most holy place. That's why when Moses came down from the mountain of Sinai, God told him, take perfect care in making the Ark of the Covenant and the tent where the Lord resides according to the specific measurements that God gave from heaven. You see, everything was measured. The Ark of the Covenant was measured. The tent, according to the cubit space, was measured. What kind of drawings and paintings that need to be put on the Ark of the Covenant, on the tent, everything was detailed and oriented. The Word of God says, the first time that someone was filled with the Holy Spirit, it was because they were required to build for the temple of God or for the tent of God. God equips people to minister in His presence so that they can build the temple of the Most High God. When we take a look at this, David in his life has reached a point where God has given him peace from all sides. David has reached a point where he is in perfect peace. He has built his palace. He has built his kingdom. He is established as the king on the throne. When we look at David's life, David did not always receive comfort. David was the youngest of all his brothers. David was given the task of doing things that nobody else wanted to do. In our family, I am the oldest of three boys. I've got two younger brothers. The brother just younger to me, his name is Josh. The youngest brother, his name is Jonathan. He and I, we have about 11 and a half years difference in age. He's just finishing high school and he graduated from high school and now he's applied to go to for his higher studies. So when I'm looking at him and when we have anything to do in the house, and my mom asks me or my father asks me to do something, I'll be like, I mean, Josh free? Really? Is Josh free? So I will say, okay, ask Josh to do it. You know what Josh will do? Josh will say, is Jonathan free? So send Jonathan to do the next work. So it just keeps passing down. Unfortunately for Jonathan, he doesn't have anyone younger to pass it on to. So he's stuck with all the tasks to do. He cannot tell me, Achacha, you do it. I tell him, I am older than you. You go and do it. There is a certain thing about the youngest in the family. Everything in the house, there is some cleaning to do. Jonathan, go do it. Papa and mommy come back from Costco shopping. Jonathan, you go and help mommy and papa pack, take out the bags. Everything we tell the youngest brother to do. Poor youngest brother. You know, he's praying and asking God, God, give me a younger brother. Why? So that he can tell that person to do something else. Okay? No, but I think God is using this time to build Jonathan up. Jonathan is very strong now. He's taller than me. He look at me. We stand next to each other. If you see me and my youngest brother stand next to each other, he's taller than me. He's even stronger than me. Sometimes when I lift up weight, my back goes out of whack. But this boy, he takes two things and he's like moving heavy things. He's really strong. But I'm really proud of my younger brother. But I just want to say that I'm thinking of David. He is in a family where he is the youngest of seven boys. Each one is looking at David and saying, David will do this. David will do that. David will do laundry. David will clean up. David will iron. David will clean the kitchen. There is no other girl. We also know this, that his father, Jesse, also told, you know, can you go and pack this lunches to send to your brother? Oh, there is some sheep out there. All your bigger brothers are busy. I cannot tell them what to do, so you go. So David is stuck taking care of sheep. David is stuck sending parcels for his older brothers. Can you imagine what life David must be? I don't know how he does any of his homework or his assignments, because David is running and doing errands for everybody. In the same way, David was nobody. He was the youngest in the family. He had no achievement, no success. He was like taking care of sheep. From there, God raised David and brought him to the palace. From there, God raised him and brought him to the palace. What changed David? What brought about the change in David? It is because God anointed him through the prophet Samuel. God sent prophet Samuel to the house of Jesse and said, go there and I will send you someone that you have to anoint. When prophet Samuel, we know the story, when prophet Samuel walked into the house, he looks at all of Jesse's sons, not all, six of them, he looks at them. Oh, this one is very tall. He looks like a king. And God said, no, not this one. He looks at the next son. Oh, this one is a little bit smart. Maybe this son. God's spirit says, no, this one. And down the line he goes, this one is more handsome. This one is really strong. And he keeps passing down the line. Finally, there is no son left. And Samuel is confused. How come you sent me here to anoint one of his sons? None of his sons are selected. God said, there is one that I see that you don't see. There is someone that I see that you cannot see. There is someone I see that everyone in this family has said, he is nobody. He will do all the chores of the house. He will just sit at home and do nothing. In our life, when other people look at us, they think there is nothing that we will amount to. Growing up, people said, oh, avane kandille. Avan onnum aagathilla. He will not reach anywhere in his life. Look at his family background. Look at his situation. Look at his circumstance. Look at his grades. Look at the surroundings. All of these things said he will not rise up. But there is a God. A God who sees you when nobody else sees you. A God who sees your situations and circumstances when no one else sees you. And that is why God saw David and anointed him. God brought him out from the tent and put him in a place where he has a palace to live in. I want us to turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel. Chapter 22, verses 21 to 25. Randu Samuel, 22 adhyayam, 21 vakyam mudal 25 vakyam. Let us read. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not acted wickedly against my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless toward him, and I kept myself from iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness before his eyes. When you read this psalm, this is a psalm that this is a song that David writes towards the end of his life. He's saying this is titled as the Psalm of Deliverance. He writes this psalm because he says God has saved him. God has protected him. God has given him protection from every side. He had no option. He had nobody there with him. But he says he is blameless. He is without sin. He is clean before God. Any one of us who has read David's life, and we know the story of David. Do you think David is blameless before God? No, he's not. He lived a sinful life. After reaching the palace, there are multiple times that he falls down. He goes away from God. He has all the comforts that God has given him. He has the comfort and he says that's what he wants to live in. But then this is towards the end of his life. God says, or David says, I am clean and I am blameless before. My question is, how can David say this? എങ്ങനെയാ ദാവീദ് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ മുമ്പാകെ ഇങ്ങനെ പറയാൻ പറ്റുന്നത്? ഞാനൊരു നിഷ്കളങ്കൻ ആണെന്ന്, അല്ലെങ്കിൽ ഞാനൊരു നീതിമാനാണ്. How can he say that I am innocent before God? Or I am righteous before God? We read in Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we look at Abraham also, God tells him to walk blameless before him. Let us turn there and read Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. മുപ്പത്തി പുസ്തകം പതിനേഴാം അധ്യായം അതിന്റെ ഒന്നാം വാക്യം. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully. God tells Abraham to walk faithfully before God. And we know that Abraham does not walk faithfully before God. He lies. He cheats. He does things that are wrong. It's not once, it's twice. He goes and relies on his own ability. He goes and relies on his own power. Even to the point where he doubts God's promises. But later on, Abraham says, I walked faithfully before God. Genesis chapter 24, verse 40. Mupati bukstam, 24 madhyayam, and then 40 madhyayam. Genesis chapter 24, verse 40. It says, he replied, the Lord before whom I have walked faithfully will send his angel with you and make your journey a success so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. Here, Abraham is saying, to Eliezer, his servant, that I walked faithfully before God. Both of these people, both David and Abraham, are commanded by God to walk faithfully before him. And towards the end of their life, they've reached a point when Isaac is about age to get married. Both Abraham and David, in his deathbed, is saying, I have walked faithfully before God. I have walked blamelessly before God. This last week during fasting prayer, we were looking at walking with God or walking in the Spirit. We kept looking at these people. We looked at Abraham. We looked at David. And we understood that these people are flawed human beings, just like us. There is no difference between them and us. They are sinners. We are also sinners. They love the Lord. We also love the Lord. They have done wrong. We have also done wrong. How can these people say they are blameless before God? How can these people be used by God and say that they walked faithfully before God? How can David say that I am clean before God? They can only do this because of what God has done for them. എങ്ങനെയാണ് ആബ്രഹാമും ദാവീദും ഞാൻ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ മുമ്പാകെ നിഷ്കളങ്കനാണ് അല്ലെങ്കിൽ ഞാൻ നീതിമാനാണ് ഹല്ലേലൂയ പറയാൻ പറ്റുന്നത്? അത് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ക്രിയ മാത്രം. Only through the work of God that they can say they are holy before God. I want to read one more passage. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7 adhyayam. ഇതിലാത്തിലെ ഈ ഈ പാസേജ് വെൻ വി ലുക്ക് വി വിൽ സീ ഹൗ ഡേവിഡ് ഈസ് ഗോയിങ് ടു തിങ്ക് ഓഫ് ബിൽഡിംഗ് എ ടെമ്പിൾ. ഡേവിഡ് ലുക്സ് അറ്റ് ദ പാലസ് ഈസ് ലിവിംഗ് ഇൻ ആൻഡ് ഹി സേസ് ഐ നീഡ് ടു ബിൽഡ് ഫോർ ഗോഡ് എ ടെമ്പിൾ. രണ്ട് ശമ്പേൽ ഏറെ അധ്യായം നമുക്ക് വായിക്കാം. നൗ ഇറ്റ് കെയിം അബൌട്ട് വെൻ ദ കിങ് ലിവ്ഡ് ഇൻ ഹിസ് ഹൗസ്, ദിസ് ഇസ് കിങ് ഡേവിഡ്, ആൻഡ് ദ ലോർഡ് ഹാഡ് ഗിവൻ ഹിം റെസ്റ്റ് ഓൺ എവറി സൈഡ് ഫ്രം ഓൾ ഹിസ് എനിമീസ്, ദാറ്റ് ദ കിങ് സെറ്റ് ടു നേത്തൻ ദ പ്രോഫറ്റ്, See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within tent curtains. Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you. Verse 4. But in the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent, even in a tabernacle. Wherever I have gone with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with one of the tribes of Israel, which I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Verse 8. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture from following the sheep to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name like the names of the great men who are in the earth. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may live in their own place and never be disturbed again. Nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly. Even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord has declared to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men, in the strokes of the sons of men, and my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever, in accordance with all these words and all these visions. So Nathan spoke to David. I want to explain this. I know we read so many verses. We read from chapter 7, verse 1 to 17. But I want to say that David is feeling guilty because he's living in a palace, but the Ark of the Covenant is living in a tent outside the palace. And he's saying that I want to build for the house of the Lord a cedar. I want to build an eternal house, the best resources for the house of the Lord. But God sends his prophet Nathan and says, you are not the one to build me a temple. Niyalla ende aalayathe paniyendathu. You are not the one to build me a temple. I will build you a house. Ninakku vendi njan oru veedu pani. But I will raise for myself a descendant from you who will come and build a house for you that will be established forever. David vicharichu idu ende mon Solomon aanu. David thought God is talking about his son Solomon. But God is talking about a son that is going to come from the line of David. A promise that came from the Garden of Eden. A promise that was given to Abraham, through your seed, I will bless the whole earth. This promise that after you are buried, long after you are dead, I will raise up a son. His kingdom will be established. He will be like a son to me. And his kingdom will last forever. Solomon built the temple. It was destroyed. In 655 BC, the Assyrians and the Babylonians came into Judah and destroyed the temple. God promised David that the time is coming when all the enemies of Israel will never disturb Israel. Even today in history, there is still attack on the land of Israel. Hezbollah, Syria, Lebanon, all of them are still fighting against Israel. But let me tell you, a time is coming when the true children of God, when the people of Israel, the true Jewish people, will come into the land that God has established. And God will establish a kingdom which will not be shaken. It will be a kingdom that will last for eternity. God will set his temple on his holy mountain. God will build a new temple. ഒരു പുതിയ ആലയം ദൈവം പണിയും. Who will ascend to this holy hill? Who will enter this new temple? Let us go to Psalm 15, verse 2. He who walks with integrity, 15th Sangeetram, Randam Vakyam. He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Who is this? Idara. Who is there who is walking with integrity? Who is there who works righteousness? Who is there who is blameless? None of us are qualified. But the Bible says that Jesus took our sin. നമ്മളുടെ പാപത്തെ ദൈവം, അല്ലെങ്കിൽ യേശു ക്രിസ്തു തന്റെ ശരീരത്തിൽ എടുത്തു. He took our sins. നമ്മൾ മ്ലേച്ഛമായി ചെയ്ത എല്ലാ കാര്യങ്ങളും ദൈവം തന്റെ ശരീരത്തിൽ എടുത്തു. അതുകൊണ്ട് അബ്രഹാം പറഞ്ഞതുപോലെ, ദാവീദ് പറഞ്ഞതുപോലെ, നമുക്കും ഇന്ന് രാവിലെ പറയാൻ പറ്റും, ഞാൻ ഒരു നീതിമാനാണ്, ഞാൻ നിഷ്കളങ്കനാണ്, ഞാൻ ഐ കൻ വാക്ക് ഫെയ്ത്ത്ഫുള്ളി ബിഫോർ ഗോഡ്. ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ഏബ്രഹാം സെഡ്, ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ഡേവിഡ് സെഡ്, വി കൻ സേ ഐ കൻ എന്റർ ഇൻ ടു ദ ടെമ്പിൾ ഓഫ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഹൈ ഗോഡ്. ഇത് നമ്മളുടെ സ്വന്തം ശക്തിയാലല്ല, നമ്മളുടെ നീതിയാലല്ല, ഹല്ലേലൂയ, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ശക്തിയാലല്ല. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൺലി ത്രൂ ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് ദാറ്റ് വി ആർ മെയ്ഡ് റൈറ്റസ് ആൻഡ് സെറ്റ് അപ്പാർട്ട് ഫോർ ഗോഡ്. ഇന്ന് രാവിലെ ഹല്ലേലൂയ, ലെറ്റ് അസ് മേക്ക് ഷുവർ ദാറ്റ് വി ആർ വാക്കിംഗ് ഇൻ ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ്. ലെറ്റ് അസ് മേക്ക് ഷുവർ ദാറ്റ് വി ആർ കീപ്പിംഗ് ഇൻ സ്റ്റെപ്പ് വിത്ത് ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ്. ലെറ്റ് അസ് മേക്ക് ഷുവർ ദാറ്റ് വി ആർ റൈറ്റസ് ബിഫോർ ഗോഡ്. Let us make sure that we are blameless before God. Maybe you have done sins worse than Abraham. Maybe you have done sins worse than David. But if you walk with God, your sins will be forgotten. As far as the east is from the west, so far will the sins be removed from you. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is God's love for you. Even though your sins be like crimson, God will make them white as wool. Even though your sins be scarlet as blood, God will make them white as snow. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We can say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is only by the blood of Jesus our sins are washed away. Hallelujah. It is only by the blood of Jesus that we can be righteous before God. Finally, in the book of Revelation, we see John standing and seeing a revelation of a group of people who are standing before the throne. Velupad books them. ഏഴാം അധ്യായം 9th വാക്യം ഇത് കഴിഞ്ഞിട്ട് ഞാൻ പ്രാർത്ഥിച്ചിരിക്കാം. ഐ വിൽ എൻഡ് മൈ വേർഡ് സൂൺ. റെവലേഷൻ ചാപ്റ്റർ 7:9 ഓൺവേർഡ്സ്, 9 വാക്യം മുതൽ. വെളിപ്പാട് പുസ്തകം 7:9 വാക്യം മുതൽ. ഹല്ലേലൂയ. ആഫ്റ്റർ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ഐ ലുക്ക്ഡ് ആൻഡ് ബിഹോൾഡ് എ ഗ്രേറ്റ് മൾട്ടിറ്റ്യൂഡ് വിച്ച് നോ വൺ കുഡ് കൗണ്ട് from every nation and all tribes and people and tongues standing before the throne and before the lamb clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands and they cried out with a loud voice saying salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the lamb and all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God saying amen blessing and glory wisdom and thanksgiving honor and power might be to our God forever and forever amen this vision that John is seeing he is seeing in the temple of the most high God ഈ ദർശനം യോഹന്നാൻ കാണുന്നത്, ഹല്ലേലൂയ, പത്മോസ് ദ്വീപിൽ കാണുന്നത്, ഹല്ലേലൂയ, ഇത് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ സ്വർഗീയ ആലയമാണ്. He is seeing the heavenly temple and his eyes are opened and he sees a great group of people from every tribe, from every tongue, from every color, from every race, from every creed, from every culture. All people are gathered together in this temple of the most high God. Who are these people? ഈ ആൾക്കാർ ആരാണ്? ഇവർ ആരാ? Who are these people? Who are the people who can climb the holy hill? Who are the people who can be in the throne room of God? നമുക്ക് വായിക്കാം. Let us continue reading Revelation chapter 7 verse 13 onwards. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, those who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And where have they come from? One of the elders, one of the 24 elders who are standing around the throne room of God is looking at John and saying, Ivarara. Who are these people? ഈ ആലയത്തിൽ കയറാൻ പ്രവേശിക്കാൻ ആരാ ഇവർക്ക് പെർമിറ്റ് കൊടുത്തത്? Who gave them the permit to enter into the holy temple of God? Then John answers him in verse 14. I said to him, My Lord, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Who are these people? ഈ ആൾക്കാർ ആരാണ്? These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God. And they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer. They will thirst nor thirst anymore. Nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of the waters of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah. യേശുവിന്റെ രക്തത്താൽ കഴുകിയ നമ്മളെ, ഹല്ലേലൂയ, ആ ദിവസം നമ്മളും കാണും. ഓ പേർ വിളിക്കും നമ്മുടെ നമ്മളും കാണുന്നേ, ഹല്ലേലൂയ. We will be called when the roll is called up yonder. Me and you will be there because we have washed ourselves in the blood of the Lamb. യേശുവിന്റെ രക്തത്തിൽ ശുദ്ധി പ്രാപിച്ച നമ്മൾ, പാപികളായ നമ്മളെ, ഹല്ലേലൂയ, ഇപ്പോൾ എവിടെ? ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ആലയത്തിൽ, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ മന്ദിരത്തിൽ. ഓ ഹല്ലേലൂയ, ഇൻ ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഹോളി പ്ലേസ്, വിശുദ്ധ സ്ഥലത്തിൽ നമ്മൾ നിൽക്കും. ഇന്ന് രാവിലെ ഹല്ലേലൂയ, നിങ്ങളുടെ ജീവിതത്തിൽ പാപമുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ, ഹല്ലേലൂയ, കുറവുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ നിങ്ങൾ യേശുവിന്റെ രക്തത്താൽ ചോദിച്ചാൽ ഹല്ലേലൂയ. If there is any sin or any shortcoming in your life, if you ask for the blood of Jesus, he will wipe it away. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. When we wash our clothes in the blood of Jesus, our clothes will become white garments. നമ്മളുടെ പേര് ഹല്ലേലൂയ ജീവന്റെ പുസ്തകത്തിൽ കാണും. To him who keeps his clothes white, his name I will not remove from the book of life. He tells that to the church of Sardis. I pray that we will keep our clothes white. ഇന്ന് രാവിലെ ഹല്ലേലൂയ ഡേവിഡ് ആസ്ക്സ്, who shall ascend to the holy hill? ദൈവത്തിന്റെ മന്ദിരത്തിൽ, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ആലയത്തിൽ ആര് കയറും? Who will climb the holy hill of God? He who walks in integrity, he who is righteous, he who is blameless. None of us are. But when we wash ourselves with the blood of the Lamb, we cover ourselves with Jesus. നമ്മൾ രക്തത്താൽ നമ്മൾ കഴുകുമ്പോൾ, യേശുവിന്റെ രക്തത്താൽ കഴുകുമ്പോൾ, നമ്മൾ യേശു ക്രിസ്തുവിനെയാണ് നമ്മൾ ധരിക്കുന്നത്. And when we cover ourselves in the blood of the Lamb, we will get access into the most holy place. I just want to end my words here. Let us just close our heads, close our eyes. Father, Lord, this morning we thank you for your presence. We thank you for speaking to us. Father, we who had no chance to come into your presence, Lord, we have access today to the most holy place. It is by your grace and your grace. It is by your blood. It is through your son, Jesus. Lord, I pray on that day when John opened his eyes and he saw multitudes in heaven from every race, every tongue, gathered together with palm branches in his hands and saying, worthy is the Lamb. I pray, Lord, that every single person in this church will be found in that list. Every single person in this church will be found in that list saying, worthy is Lord, salvation to God. Salvation is for those who worship God around his throne. Lord, we have no ability to enter into your throne room. We have no ability to raise ourselves up. David had no ability to bring himself to a place of on the throne room or into the palace. It was the Spirit of God that changed his circumstance. It is the Spirit of God that changed him and brought him into the palace. Today, Lord, everything that we are, it is because of your Spirit. We surrender our life to you. We give our life to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to keep in step with the Spirit always. Help us never to turn right or left away from your Spirit. Continue to guide our life. Let your name be glorified through the way that we live our lives. All glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.